Today's scripture reading will be coming from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. I will be reading from the American Standard Version. And it reads, "Repent ye therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. Ye are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities."
It's good to see everyone here this morning to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful for you being here, and we hope, pray, and trust that you will come back as soon as possible. What does it mean to preach Christ? What does that mean? This month, as we have been talking about the Christ, talked about the cross on last week. This week we are going to be talking about the Christ. What does it mean to preach and teach the Christ? As we are going out seeking and saving the lost, as Jesus gave his apostles, his disciples, a commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, what a great charge he gave them. And by implication, we have that charge as the people of God to talk to those who are outside of Christ, who don't know Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of their sins, to teach them more on the correct side of what thus saith the Lord. But what does it mean to preach Jesus? What does it mean to preach Christ? Why preach Christ? Why should we even preach about the risen Lord, the risen Savior? Well, if I could sum it up in a few words, we preach Christ because we're aiming to reshape the human condition. We want men to change their way of thinking, to change their minds, to turn toward repentance. A few thoughts that I want to give before we go into our lesson. Why should we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? In Acts 17, in verse number 30, God wants all men to come to repentance. He wants men to change their minds, to change from one state to another state. As we consider those words, we must consider the words of the Apostle Paul. As we think about why preach repentance, we preach repentance because the goodness of God leads to repentance, Romans 2 and verse 4. The very fact that God is a good God ought to be enough to lead men and women away from their sins. How should we preach? In 2 Timothy 2, 24 through verse number 25, we know that we ought to be preaching in a way that God will grant men repentance through meek instruction. And so we know that repentance will be granted or shall be granted if men will just hear what thus saith the Lord, hopefully leading them to repentance through godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 9 and 10. I said all of that because when we consider our commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus gives that great commission to his disciples, and he wants them to teach all nations, all ethnic groups. Mark 16, verse 15. This message that we or they were to preach, and we're to preach today as well, should be a message preached that was given by Jesus's authority. There's not a message that we ought to teach or preach that doesn't come from Jesus's authority. This message that we preach involves repentance and remission of sins, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. What a great message that we're preaching. What a great message that they taught and preached. And we ought to be teaching the same message. This message leads sinners to the waters of baptism, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This message of repentance requires further teaching, even after one obeys the gospel. Why should we preach Christ? We should preach Christ because, number one, it demonstrates success. In Acts chapter 3, that which was read in our hearing, let's go ahead and let's look at a few of these points that Peter, our brother, he gives on Solomon's porch. If you remember the context, there was a lame man that had been lame from his birth. Lame from his mother's birth. And he was laid at the gate called Beautiful. You remember he cast his eyes on Peter and James, or John, I'm sorry. And remember what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. Rise up in the name of Jesus and walk. Next thing you know, he's up, he's walking, he's praising, leaping, praising God. Now he's on Solomon's porch, and Peter has something very powerful to say to those who are in the area of Judea. Remember on one occasion before Jesus went to his Father in heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he told his disciples that they were going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. And so in this particular progression of the gospel going out, they're now in Judea. And as they're in Judea, he says something very powerful and pointed. Notice verse number 18. I had him read verse number 19, but verse 18, notice what the Bible there says. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer. Notice this last part of the verse. He has thus fulfilled. I want to make a point right here. This will be our first point under this point, that preaching Jesus, preaching Christ, demonstrates success. God and the Christ was successful in their roles in bringing Christ to this world, but also having him to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross, and to be raised from the dead, now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. They were successful in that. And then we see in verse number 19 that Peter puts those in Judea in position to be successful in the sight of God. The gospel in which they preached and which we preach ought to put people in a position to be successful. How? Look at verse 19. He tells them, repent, therefore, and be converted, meaning change, that your sins may be blotted out, erased, wiped away, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now notice something, friends. Peter positions the people of Judea to be successful by telling them that they needed to change their mind and be converted. Why? Because of what God did in his success in bringing the Christ, having him to die on the cross, having him to be buried, having him to be raised the third day. With that being said, all men everywhere are now in the position to be successful, justified in the very sight of God. True success, friends, is to be justified in the sight of God. What does it mean to preach Christ? When we preach Christ, we put people in the position to be successful. But then notice verse number 22 through 23. In verses 22 and 23, we take notice that success is listening to that prophet. You remember, according to Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18, as Moses said, anyone who doesn't hear him shall be cut off, shall be destroyed. Here, Peter actually pulls from Deuteronomy chapter 18, from the message of Moses in the book of the Pentateuch. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Now, you know, under that particular system, under the law of Moses, they listened to Moses. Moses had the authority. Now Jesus has that authority. Now we have to listen to Jesus. Jesus is the one that's being promoted, being exalted as the one that we ought to be listening to, that they should have been listening to. But notice what he goes on to say in verse number 23. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. It's interesting that if one is going to be successful, they must listen to that prophet. They must listen to Jesus. Jesus would say on one occasion, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 10 and verse number 15, Jesus would say, those who hear my voice. Friends, it's about hearing the voice of the Lord. It's about being successful. Being successful is identifying with Abraham, Abraham. Look at verse number 25. In verse number 25, here, Peter, as he is talking on Solomon's porch, notice what he says. You are sons of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, now that's the key to this understanding, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If one wanted to be blessed, Peter is telling those on Solomon's porch, if one wanted to be blessed, they had to be of the seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 26 through 29. True success, preaching Jesus, is putting people in the position to be identified with Abraham. One thing about the Jews in John chapter 8, they promoted Abraham as their father. They identified with Abraham, so they said. So here comes Jesus. And Jesus, as he is talking to these religious leaders, he's letting them know that Abraham, well, he gloried to see my day. If anybody was going to be identified with Abraham, they had to obey Jesus after the cross. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through verse number 29, Paul, as he is talking to the church at Galatia, it's interesting that he tells these brethren here something very powerful. He says, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now notice, to identify with Abraham is to identify with Christ. When we preach Christ, we preach identification with Abraham. Remember the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses, that in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And how all men were going to be blessed through that seed. That seed is Christ, Galatians 3:16. Here we see that if one is going to be successful, one has to be identified with Abraham. To be identified with Abraham is to be identified with the seed of Abraham. Who is the seed of Abraham? The Christ. And notice verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There are many, even today, who want to be identified with Abraham, but they don't want to be identified with Christ. What do you mean by that? In order to be identified with Christ, one has to be baptized into Christ. To be identified with Christ, one has to be operated on by God, Colossians 2 and verse number 13. This is why we preach Christ. This is why we preach being immersed into Christ. Why? Because I want to be identified with the promise that God gave to Abraham. Oh, it's a beautiful promise. Go back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, as Peter is talking on Solomon's porch, he's letting them know that if you want to be identified with Abraham, You got to be in Christ. You have to listen to that prophet. But then notice, why did Jesus come? Why do we preach Christ? Why did Peter preach Christ? Look at verse number 26. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus. Now, why was Jesus sent? Sent him to bless you. There are a few ways that we look at blessings, but the true way of a blessing is being turned away from our sins. That's the true blessing. When you are blessed, you know that you have the forgiveness of sins. You know that your slate has been cleaned, if you will, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Notice the rest of the passage. In turning away every one of you from your iniquity. Jesus was sent to bless us. He was sent to bless them. He was sent to bless us. And so my question is this. How can we preach Christ? Why should we preach Christ? We want to preach Christ because we want people to be blessed. We want people to be put in a position where they can have their sins washed away. That's why the Lord's church is so important. That's why all of us must be going out doing our part. Number two, preaching Christ is not mixed with man's wisdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What does it mean to preach Christ? We don't mix God's word with man's word. Now, this is a difficult point right here. It's a vitally important point, but it's a difficult point because it gets emotional. It gets emotional real fast. Why? Because when we think of some of the spiritual literature that is out, if that spiritual literature is not filtered through the word of God, we can be led astray. We have to be very careful. This is why we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. This is why even when you consider the commentary that's coming forth from the pulpit, you need to make sure that you check it. What do you mean by that? Isn't it interesting that Paul in Acts 17 and verse number 11, the Bible there says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica and that they searched the scriptures to make sure the things in which Paul was saying was so. Hold on. If they check behind Paul who was inspired, you ought to check behind Bonner who is aspiring. Okay. A lot of times we check more behind the apostles than we do men. We need to check behind men as well. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, here Paul, as he is warning the Corinthians, do not mix the two. Notice verse number 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, notice, it's the power of God. When we consider preaching Christ, we preach Christ because it's the power of God. Notice verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Now notice these questions. Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now notice this, friends. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. The power of preaching. The necessity of preaching. Friends, the Lord's church must continue to preach Christ and him crucified. We don't mix our message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with no other message out there. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse number 8. As Paul, and this is no new thing. This is a reoccurring theme, if you will. It's no new thing. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, Paul is warning the Colossian brethren of the same thing in general. Notice what he tells them in verse number 8. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you. How? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles, the rudiments of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul, why would you tell the Colossian brethren that? Why would you tell the Corinthian brethren, where's the wise? Where's the scribes? Where's the disputers of this age? Where are those who think they're so wise? And it's interesting that people want to be so wise, but when it comes to God, they're so foolish. We have to be careful as the people of God. As we go out and we preach Christ, let's preach nothing but Christ. In Matthew chapter 15, we're not going to look at it, verses 1 through 9, Jesus warns his own disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. And friends, we have to be careful as well, because they taught their teachings as doctrines, the commandments of men. Literally, they taught their teachings as authoritative. We have to be careful as well. When we go out and we preach Christ, let's not mix it with our wisdom. Let's keep it with God's wisdom. And no wonder the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, preach the word. Speak those things that befit sound, healthy doctrine, healthy teaching. Peter would say, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let's make this one little point here. I've used this about 3 times just this week alone. It's interesting. Put this in your notes. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 34. In verses 11 through 34, you come across this man of God who was told by God to go into a particular city, go preach, do not eat, don't drink, and go out a different way. He did that. As a matter of fact, he did exactly that. But then there was a false prophet. And that false prophet asked his son, where did the man of God go? He said, he went that way. So he went after him and said, an angel of the Lord told me to bring you back. You know what he did, Brother Royce? He went back. And while he was eating, his conscience got him. Next thing you know, he left a lion, killed him on the road. Made me think, what happens when we listen to that which doesn't come from God? It is so important for us to check everything that we hear. And Jesus said on one occasion, be careful what you hear. Be careful. We used to sing a little song to our children, at least when I was a kid. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. We used to sing that song. Kind of got away from that. Now we listen to everything. Now we look at everything. And all of us have to be careful. Why? Because preaching Christ, we want to make sure that we rightly divide. And here, Paul, as he is talking to the Corinthians, I notice even in this context, preaching Christ, we can't mix it with man's wisdom. We got to keep it with what God says. Number 3, look at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, preaching Christ requires preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. This is a very quick point right here. But I found it very interesting in verse number 4 and 5. When one preaches Christ, he preaches the word. Notice, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. What does it mean to preach Christ? To preach Christ means we preach the word. They go hand in hand. We're not preaching philosophy. Not preaching men's wisdom, not preaching denominational doctrine. We're preaching the word. We got to make sure that we preach the word. Look at verse 12. What does it mean to preach the word? Notice in verse number 12, very simple passage. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, notice what preaching the word will do. Both men and women were baptized. That's where it ought to result in. It ought to result in men and women identifying with Christ, identifying with Abraham. But he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. This same Philip, if you drop down to verse number 26, in verse number 26, this same Philip, he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse number 32. The place, the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb dumb before his shearer. So he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip. He says, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Notice what he says. Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preach Jesus to him. To preach Jesus? Notice, friends. He says, see, here's water. What does it mean to be baptized? To preach Jesus? To preach the cross? To preach the Christ? Means that you preach water. Marshall Keeble, old gospel preacher, had been dead a long time ago, got this sermon entitled, Water, 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 Water. There's something about that water. God is not into dry cleaning, brethren. Men got to get wet. Men got to go into the watery grave of baptism in order to have their conscience cleansed. In order for God to operate upon them, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13, and as God is operating upon them, God will then cleanse their conscience. God is not into dry cleaning. He is into baptism. Notice verse number 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, notice this, friends. This is a great little argument for us. Here, when we consider even the mode of baptism, and this is not this lesson, I'm just going to throw this in here. In order for baptism to be the baptism that Peter preached and Paul preached and Philip preached, one has to go to the water, one has to go down into the water, and the next verse, you got to come up out of the water. There's no sprinkling there. There's no pouring there. It is immersion. And as one is immersed into Christ, one comes out of that water and he goes away rejoicing. To preach Christ is to preach immersion. It's to preach baptism. Also, to preach Christ in that same text, if you notice, he started from the place in which the eunuch was reading, Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. To preach Jesus means that we take people where they are and we take them where God wants them to be. You know, that takes skill, Proverbs 11, verse 30. That's hard. You know, we want to start people where we think they ought to be. No, he started right where he was, which also teaches us, Brother Brian, that you can start anywhere in the Bible and you can get people to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you start. You can get them to the Lord. Why? Because this Bible, the Word of God, is all about Jesus. It's something about getting people to Jesus. Let's make this one little point under this point. Go to Mark chapter 2. It's something about getting people to Jesus. And so my question to the Church of Christ here at 9th and Main, what are we willing to do to get people to Jesus? Let me tell you what four men were willing to do in Mark chapter 2. You remember Jesus was preaching inside of a house. And as he was preaching, the crowd came in and they had this paralytic. And they couldn't get in. And so they put their minds together. And you know what they did? They tore up that roof. They tore that roof off and they lowered that man down to Jesus. They uncovered the roof. It caused me to think about this, Evelyn. And I said, what are we willing to uncover to help people get to Jesus? Some people want to keep stuff covered. You can't keep stuff covered and get to Jesus. You got to uncover it. And when you uncover it, then God can work with you. These people were willing to uncover the roof. When we're sitting down talking to people, we ought to be willing to help them uncover stuff in order to get to Jesus. What are you willing to uncover? What are you willing to expose in order for the Lord to help you? We'll stop right there. Oh, I have more points, but I think I made my point. But we'll stop right there. Question. What does it mean to preach Jesus? Do you know what it means to preach Jesus? There's more we could say as it relates to preaching Jesus. But if we listen to mankind and not go to the Word of God, we'll be saying just about anything. But to preach Jesus is to stay with his book. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the Lord's church. Maybe a Christian and, well, you haven't been staying with Jesus. You haven't been preaching Jesus. We need to stay with it. It's the only message we have. Acts 4 and verse number 12. There's no other foundation that we can lay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. He's the only foundation we can lay. He's the only name that we can be saved in, Acts 4 and verse 12. Have you been preaching Jesus? Have you been talking to people about Jesus? Sometimes we talk about everything but Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. There are some people out here, they need to hear about him. And it doesn't matter where anybody is, you can take them in their situation and you can get them to the Lord. You can uncover it. If you need to repent, let's do that. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you're not a child of God. And you need to obey the gospel. You need to come to Jesus. You need to uncover some things. That's okay. As a matter of fact, that's why we're here. That's why we're on this corner right here. To help people understand that you can come to the Lord. And it's going to be okay. The Lord's people have to be a people that as they go out and they preach and teach Christ and him crucified, as they go out there and fish, be fishers of men, you're going to catch just about anything. You got to be willing to help them get cleaned up. Maybe you're not a child of God. You want to get cleaned up. We can help you. This will be a location, a place where you won't be judged. And if you are, say something. We'll get it fixed. Because when we judge, it's righteous judgment, not hypocritical. At least that's what it's supposed to be. You can get things right today by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. And here it is. Be buried in water that you may be immersed into Christ. Come up, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Don't you want to be a child of God this morning? So you can go out and preach Jesus? Let us do that as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.